Let's talk a little bit about the 2018 book.
Okay.
I do want to say I wish everybody could have a copy of it. I wish everyone could have the JPEGs of all the spreads. As I mentioned earlier, as I've gone around this summer to teach design and storytelling and great coverage, I've gone back to your book over and over again as an example of a book that tells their story well. It's your use of white space and dominance and the way that you tell the story with your large stories, your long form features and your short secondary stuff has just been amazing. And I think, it's what you do, what your kids do is something that people can do, not easily, but it can be done. And you've just put it together in such a beautiful package that I just love it. And it's been great. It's been a great teaching tool for me. Like you say, I would show people your slides and go, see this? See how they vary these different levels of white space? See the different levels of storytelling we have here? And they get it. It's really pretty amazing. So pass that on to your
I
students
will. That's such a
that
sweet compliment. Thank you so much.
people around the country have seen what you do and are loving it. And I just know how my kids would appreciate that, and they just did a tremendous job. So tell me a little bit about the theme,
Okay.
how you picked your theme. You Want to Be Us. How did that go? When do you tell me about your theme process for that book?
Okay, so theme process is super important. I will say I think that the number one mistake, so I'm trying to be helpful, so adding in tips as we go. But yeah, the number one mistake I hear from advisors is, oh, we picked our theme, in a couple days and we're done, our cover's done, our books, we're ready to go with theme. And I'm like, what? No, you got to live with it. You need to fight with it. You need to argue about it across the room. You need to bring it back up again and really go, did we really like this? Is it working? How's the theme copy sounding? How's our visual going on with it? Are we seeing that connection to our visual from our verbal and having those conversations? So it's not for us, definitely. And maybe other schools will completely argue against me and maybe they're right. I don't know. But for us, it's really a process. And we start at the end of the school year with them kind of thinking about what the next year is going to hold for them and them playing with design. So they get to like create like their own folk fake yearbook at the end of the year. That's their final. And they play with designs that they see on Pinterest and on Behance and on Dribbble. And they get to really explore with what techniques they think are fun. And they start to kind of decide what they think the story of the next year is going to be. But it's really just a drop of water in the cup because by the time we get to summer camp at Camp Orlando, our theme's completely shifted from then. And my editors usually have like a some like rough idea of what they're thinking. And then at Camp Orlando, we spend 4 days fighting with the theme, arguing about it across the room, throwing it against the wall to see if it sticks. And sometimes we have to kill it. And my kids say that they're like, that's such a graphic thing to say. And I'm like, one of the biggest things I learned when I was in art school was that you, when you look at your drawing or your painting or your composition, and you're sitting there staring at it, and you're like, I just don't know what to do next. It needs more, and I just don't know what's wrong with it. That you should kill your favorite part of the design, like just nix it. Yeah, take it out because it's what you're saving it, and that's what's killing you. So it's like you can't change just one thing because you love it. And then you're just sacrificing the rest of the design for it. So when we're talking about theme and they're sitting there going, we like this theme phrase. It's so great. We're trying to figure it out, but we can't figure out our verbal. I'm like, then it's not the theme phrase, guys. You got to kill it. It's not it. You've got to throw it, it's going in the garbage. I mean, we can pull it out later if we want to play with it again, but for now, like, move on. You're wasting time. And then we move on to the other ideas and we just keep playing and playing and playing until we get to a place where like, yes, this thing, yes. And then we let the other parts fall away. And then we keep going back to the yeses. And we get to Elite Weekend in September, which is where we really want to finalize our design. And we feel really good about ourselves if we can walk out of that and have like a headline packages and our secondary coverage packages. And we can really see how the theme's going to play into our verbal. And we can really see how the cover's probably going to look. And that's the point where our theme is fully developed. And with You Wanna Be Us, it was a fight. We really fought with that theme. It was a lot of like, my editor in chief didn't really love the theme. My design editor, who was amazing, really loved it. So it was a constant battle between them for the whole book. And I think it made our book better. You know, struggle breeds strength. But I think the fact that they constantly had to like be like, well, I don't think I like that. Let's try something new. Okay, well, I don't know if I like that. Well, let's try this then. That process is huge to really finding things that work. You know, design is a problem solving process. You are trying to figure out what works and what doesn't and why it doesn't work and then correcting and correcting and correcting. So,
and I thought the whole process of your elements, your design elements, where did some of those come from? I know the underlining was a big part, the circles, the handwriting stuff. And then the big one, which everybody's going to be doing in 2019, the doodles. what's the story of your doodles? Because usually, quite frequently, they look unprofessional.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get into that unprofessional realm, it's like, oh, kind of junior high. But your kids carried them out in such an amazing high-level way. How did that all come about?
So once again, my design editor was super good. We found this design on Pinterest that actually, it was weird because I had it in my design presentation from 2 years prior. And it was a cooking magazine, and I'm sure we've all seen it on Pinterest. And it had really large text with lots of marking up on it, like you would a recipe. And we loved it. And we kept kind of coming back to it, even though we had looked at so many other designs and tried so many other things. And so we were kind of like, you know what, maybe this is just it. Like, I know it's not entirely fresh and new, but maybe this is the inspiration that we need. And we know we have this strong gravitational pull to it. So we looked at those doodles and we looked at the way that they had used the fonts and the doodles together. And really it comes down to packaging. Like, what about it do we like and would work in a yearbook? And what parts are we going to have to just ignore? And what parts of it have to do with our theme? Because a design inspiration is okay by itself. It's when it marries the theme well that you really start to see that shift in a good theme versus just like a meh theme. So the doodles themselves, we actually had, my design editor is an artist. So she hand drew all of them for the book, which I know amounted to more than 300 doodles. And she made every single one, and we used Adobe Capture to actually upload them to our system. And we just had a creative cloud that, you know, went through straight through to our computers, and the students could use in all the doodles throughout.
Did she use a tablet or she hand drew them with
pen? She hand drew them with pencils on paper, and then that capture tool turns it into a vector file.
Oh, is it, you do it with a scanner?
It's with your phone.
You shot them all with a phone. Oh my goodness.
It's amazing.
Is that part of Creative Cloud, or did you have to buy that?
No, it's part of Creative Cloud now. It's called Adobe Capture, and you just hold your phone over the drawing and it will pull it in, and you can just, it just turns it into a vector, and you kind of clean it up with your finger a little bit, and it goes straight in.
I never was rich enough to own Creative Cloud, so I'm finding all these amazing things, like the Type Pack is another thing where you have all these access to amazing fonts.
Yes.
That go along with it. So, what a great story that is. So you were on to doodles well before you went to camp or anything like that. You'd been batting that around for a long time.
We were, but it was a different way. And I've seen other yearbooks look at the different inspirations. And I think the doodles that we kept seeing weren't the ones we ended up doing. And I think once we kind of started thinking of them as mods, the inspiration kind of fell away from anything we actually had seen before. So it was more like, how can we incorporate doodles? Knowing they exist, knowing we want to do them, how can we incorporate doodles in these mods and still have them look nice? Because yes, I agree with you. A lot of times they can look very juvenile, or they just don't seem to really like look like what they're supposed to look like. And they're not consistent. Yeah. Like a lot of my students can draw on my staff, but I only had one student do the whole entire book. So it's like that consistency was making sure she was the one that drew every single one, which was a huge burden for her. And, you know, she's amazing for doing it. That alone, she should be, you know, getting medals for. But I'll make her one. But she's she was such a stellar and amazing artist that I think that just you made the book what it was. And there, you know, there's so much more that goes into it. My editor-in-chief had a really good understanding of design hierarchy, which is really essential for your editors to understand. So that way they are, they can actually look at a spread and be like, well, this looks weird. And when I scored for CSPA this summer, I was constantly going, you're not establishing dominance on this spread. You're not, like, something needs to be bigger than everything else. And then there just needs to be a second clear thing that's second bigger. And then third thing bigger. And then from there, everything else needs to be smaller. Like, those concepts are so important.
This is another one of those moments. If this were a lecture, I would say, write this down and underline it, because I've been talking a lot about hierarchy this last couple of years, and it's very clear how well your kids understand that principle. It isn't just a bunch of stuff on the page. By the way you manipulate size and change size, you really guide your reader around the page.
Yeah. And I think that's just teaching them hierarchy. It's not a huge lesson. You don't have to talk about all of the hierarchy at once. You know, in year one, you can just kind of talk about size and color and contrast, you know, because I think those are like the basics of it. And when we can move into proximity and all those things, I usually tell them too, this might help some advisors with their staffs who are struggling with understanding how to separate elements. Whenever like I see those celebrity magazines on the checkout line on my way out of the store, they always have like those stories where it's like, are these two still a couple? They're walking and they're looking away from each other and there's like a foot between them. Who knows? And you're like, oh my goodness, are they breaking up? And that's the same thing with design. You know, when as these elements are further away from each other, you know, we assume that they're not related anymore. And when we tighten them together, we're telling you, hey, they're related. So that is one of those concepts, I think, that really changes the way kids start to think about spreads. So understanding that, you know, related elements need to be close to each other. You need to have something that your eyes are drawn to the second you look at a spread. So something really big and dominant and powerful. And that should be their hook into the spread. So it needs to be something that has impact and is interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's just what I've been using your book to teach all summer. So another thing that came out of our discussion, I didn't realize, now I kind of understand on your cover why the doodles aren't a part of your cover. Now, I suppose you could call the circle and the arrows a doodle, but what you really did was you envisioned the doodles as secondary coverage.
Yes, we did.
So it wasn't really a thematic element in a way, if you know what I'm saying. So I think that was a cool choice not to load up the cover with doodles and then have them, bam, hit you on the end sheet with such power, you know.
Yeah, we kept coming back to, like, it's not that the doodles were the part of the theme package, it's that hand-drawn elements were. So the scratchiness, the circling, all of that was part of the hand-drawn elements. And we're not the first to do that, you know. That's definitely something that's been around. I think packaging it with the doodles, we really wanted to make it this, like, a book for, like, from our kids to the school. Like, this is about us. You know, you want to be us. And it really needed to have that strong voice. And so having that doodly, like, hey, I just wrote this down on a piece of paper and passed it to my friend element was what we were going for.
Yeah. And you really achieved it. What I'm hopefully going to be able to do is hopefully on the Walsworth website, I'm going to be able to connect some images so people who are listening to the podcast can actually see what we're talking about and get a handle on how you brought it together. Another real subtle thing I love on your cover is that you used all caps, which was great because you're shouting at everybody. But I love the subtlety that it was all caps italic. Just that little bit of movement I thought was super, super cool along with everything else.
Thank you, Jim.
I don't know if you talked about that much, but but that was a cool choice. Your book is sassy. It has confidence. It has voice. What I'd love you to do now is, would you open up the book and would you read the theme copy so the listeners can get a little flavor of the voice of your book?
Yes, of course. So our theme was You Want to Be Us. And our first opening starts with the phrase just like really, really big at the top. So you want to be us. Look, we know how it sounds, but we just can't pretend to be something we're not. And yeah, we're proud of who we are. Every lunch we debated, chick Tijuana, oh wait, it's Thursday. Dala nibs. Can we still make it back to take Ogram's test before fifth? We don't want to get caught up in the tardy sweep. Trying to find 2E, good luck with that. We had to learn the hard way too, and eventually we knew the hall traffic better than the bell schedules. At the homecoming pep rally, we drowned out the fireworks with our chants after Swayze promised, these are going off at 8, whether you're ready or not. We made it work. At the dance, we played music videos on the screen. You hid your shoes behind the curtain and danced barefoot for hours. Yeah, we saw you there. You want to be us. You do. And that's our first opening spread. So the second opening, we have two openings. The second is, yeah, we know you do. There's so much here. With our just finished shirts and face paint, we drove hours to play on other schools' fields. They lost. Hey, Seminole, how's that L looking on your record? There may or may not be a pool on the roof. You'll never know. 42 and counting, our clubs are a bit much. Star Wars Club, I'd try that. Bonfires on the beach after cleaning them up with Earth and Surf. Don't forget the marshmallows. Lock-ins with Titan Gaming. How many club shirts do you have? We don't really like to talk about our classes, but we got them. With 6 academies, it's a lot to pick from. Our environmental sciences got a grant to clean the ocean, and there's JRTC coming off the fields with mud in their hair. What did you do today? And once you've had a minute to think about it, you know, this is just the place to be. Greatness is just what we do.
How do you approach your showstoppers, your interrupters? I mean, that's another thing that I was really drawn to about the book, is that you have these really solid layouts, and then bam, you come up with something that's totally different, that brings visual variety to your book, that allows you to tell long form stories. I particularly loved the sophistication of the one on stress. Tell me a little bit about how you go about integrating those kind of great showstopper spreads.
I would say first, we plan for spontaneity. So when we make our ladder, we don't put in every single spread. We have about 5 what we call fluff spreads, which are just, hey, what do we feel like doing this year? And what do we feel like is something that kids are talking about? Seems like that currency element. Like, what are kids talking about? And last year was a huge year for mental health. And it ended up, you know, especially with Stoneman Douglas and all of that, that there was just ended up being a lot more stress, I think, than we even amounted. So when the book came out, it was even more timely than it had been before we even did it. But the idea of allowing students the space to play with the theme, I think, is super important. Like, I don't think I could, like, they're not going to stay excited if all you're giving them is gut spreads, or if that's what you're saying every single gut spread needs to look like. Like, our languages spread is like one that most people are drawn to that languages spread, which was, you know, a huge like, maybe it'll work. Because we wanted to incorporate our language classes, and we also wanted to incorporate the diversity of languages we have on our campus, because both of those things are things we need to cover, and they don't always get hit. So doing this spread where we kind of just talked about what do people really like about their languages, and getting to talk about where they learned them, and, you know, they're maybe taking a class on German, but they may speak Arabic. And so really getting them to have the space to make that kind of design just means like, okay, so we're going to keep this open. So being flexible, being spontaneous, when you know that, hey, I don't really know how we're going to get all this stuff onto one spread. What can we do? And brainstorming it together as a team, like, well, maybe we just make it look funky like this. And there's always a million like funky doodles around the room of like, this is what I mean. And it's like a bunch of squiggles on a page. My design editor is like, yes, like we're both like reading like hieroglyphics or something. And once again, like, design is problem solving. So when you get to those weird problems on a spread, be okay with falling away from like the rigid structure of a gut spread and be like, okay, let's try something new here. And we plan for that. So planning for the fluff spreads is important. And that also gives us space to keep the theme flowing without having to shove it in your face on every spread, because we can really pull in those spreads towards the you want to be us. Like, who is us? Oh, we're healthy. Oh, we, you know, we do these outside of school sports activities, which was a way for us to cover the kids who don't participate in school athletics, but they do things like rock climbing and they're in like competitive dance. So we had a whole spread on that. And then the mental health spread was sandwiched in between that and eating healthy and doing skincare, because that's huge. So yes, it like became like a package that was about You Wanna Be Us, but also telling that unique story of that year with the stories that are relevant that year. So it's, yes, yeah, it's intentional. We do it intentionally.
Well, yeah. Here's another one of our take notes.